Good job. Thank y'all for those songs. It's now time for Children's Church. If we have any children, looks like we got one taker back there. We're going to be in 2 Kings this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5. That's in the Old Testament. Kind of toward the front part of your Bible. 2 Kings chapter 5. This section of Scripture where this story comes from is a section that's talking about Elisha, the man of God, and some of the miracles that he did. And tucked away in this story, this section about Elisha, we see this story about a man named Naaman. This story is just kind of stuck in there and short, not really much else said about it other than one reference Jesus makes to this very story in Luke chapter 4. So we're going to talk about it this morning. Let's pray and we'll jump in. God, we come to you. We thank you for your good word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be in this place today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take control of the words that come from my mouth. I pray that your Spirit would open our ears and our eyes to see what your word says, to hear what your word says. God, I pray that you would help us to be free from our worries and distractions of the world. Dear Lord, whatever our burdens are that we bring into this place today, I pray that we lay them down before you now. I pray that you would help us to hear what we need to hear, that we would not miss your word, dear Lord, that we would gain the encouragement that we need, dear Lord, the guidance and instruction that we need. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that I would preach and teach in a way that brings glory to Jesus Christ, and that we would all leave here today, dear Lord, drawing closer to you than when we came in. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army for the king of Aram, was a great man in his master's sight, and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a brave warrior, but he had a skin disease. Now, we know very little about Naaman, but what we know about him comes from this verse. Naaman was a brave warrior. He was a commander for the king of Aram. Now, if you don't know the Arameans or you're not familiar with Aram, you see them from time to time in Scripture, and they are kind of an arch nemesis of Israel. They are always at odds with Israel. And if you continue to read into the next chapter, you will see that play out even more. But the people of Aram and Israel were constantly feuding and battling and at war with one another. Now, Aram was a grandson of Noah. It was the son of Shem. And Aram, the Arameans are the descendants of Shem, but not only the descendants of Shem, because when it talks about the phrase Aram, it's not just talking about Shem's descendants, it's also talking about kind of all the people that live in that region. So when it talks about Aram, it's really describing a region. Now, the region of Aram was to the northeast of Israel. So if you know in your mind kind of where Israel is on the map, you go northeast a little bit from there, and that's where you will run into Aram. So these were not God-fearing people. These were people who were at odds with Israel all the time. And so Naaman here is this brave warrior, but Naaman has a problem. And Naaman's problem is that he has a skin disease of some sort. Let's continue on. Verse 2. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would go to the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." Okay, so here we see a little more of the story. As the people of Aram were feuding and in conflict with Israel, on one of these raids that they went in to attack Israel, it says that Naaman had brought back this girl from Israel to be a servant to him. Now, Naaman's got this skin disease. We see that he's brought back this servant girl from Israel, and the servant girl remembers Elijah. She remembers the prophet Elijah, and she says, look, if Naaman would go to Israel and he would seek out this prophet, he would be healed of his disease. Now, we could pass over this passage real quickly. There's not too much information there. We could pass over this servant girl, but let's stop for a second and realize what's taking place here. Here is a girl that has been abducted from her own land. She is taken to a foreign land. She is forced to serve other people. And yet there is some desire, it appears, that she cares to see Naaman get well. She wants to see Naaman's disease cured. She could have just said, look, you guys stole me. You brought me to a foreign land. I'm having to serve you. I don't care if your skin rots off. That could have been her response, but it wasn't. Instead, she showed some care for Naaman in saying that there is a cure for Naaman if she would only go see the man of God. If he would only go seek out Elijah, there would be some cure for what was ailing him. Now, if the servant girl would have kept her mouth quiet, we wouldn't be reading this story today. But I think the servant girl is a good reminder that you never know where you might be that God may can use you. You may be in a place you don't want to be at. You may be surrounded by people that don't care anything about you, people that you don't even really like that much, but you never know where God can put you, and maybe the work that God wants to do through you is not seemingly very significant to you, but maybe it has more effect than you realize. If this little servant girl hadn't spoken up, we'd never know the story of Naaman. We'd never get to see the miracle that is about to take place. But nonetheless, the servant girl remembered the man of God and pointed Naaman in the right direction. Let's continue on. Verse 4. So Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Therefore the king of Aram said, go, and I will send a letter with you to the king of Israel. So he went and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel. Okay, so you can imagine this. The king says, all right, Naaman, you want to go see this guy? I'll send you to this guy. Naaman had told the king what the girl had said. And so the king writes a letter, and we'll read that in a second, and he sends all these gifts with him. So you can imagine the scene. You're a king, you're wealthy, you got a lot of gifts. You're sending a letter to another king in another land. You're trying to seek some kind of favor from him. And so we're going to bring gifts. Okay, there's going to be a healing that takes place. And as payment for this healing, as a reward for this healing, there are gifts for this healing that we are anticipating, that we are expecting. We don't come looking for a handout. So he sends all this silver and all this gold and clothes to where it's going to be a long journey. And all of these things Naaman takes with him, along with a letter that the king wrote. And it read, when this letter comes to you, note that I have sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease. Now, this seems a little odd because the girl didn't say, go to the king, he's going to heal your skin disease. Now, maybe the king of Aram, something got lost in translation. For whatever reason, he sends a letter to the king of Israel and says, look, my guy's got a skin disease and it needs to be healed. Would you heal it? Now, the king certainly didn't have any power to heal a skin disease. Maybe the king of Aram just assumed that the king of Israel would send him to the right spot. I don't know. But nonetheless, the letter says, look, king, I'm sending you my guy. You heal him. Well, the king of Israel takes offense to this, as we see in the next verse. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Think it over, and you will see that he is only picking a fight with me. So the king of Israel receives this letter, and he does not appreciate what's going on here. He thinks that the king of Aram is kind of trying to poke the bear a little bit. Obviously, they're both in conflict with each other. This is a long-running conflict, and the king of Israel thinks he's just trying to pick at him, trying to pick a fight, trying to cause trouble with him. It says that when he read the letter, he tore his clothes. This is something we see often in the scriptures. Usually when people are grieving or it's a time of repentance, whatever it may be. Perhaps he thought this letter was blasphemy. He says, look, who does this guy think I am? Does he think I am God, that I have the power to heal this man? You may remember that when those who had Jesus on trial before his crucifixion asked him if he was the Messiah, Jesus said, I am, and it says that the priest tore his clothes. He thought what Jesus said was blasphemy, and maybe that's the same idea here. Maybe the king of Israel thought that this letter from Aram was blasphemous, that he would suggest that somehow he had the power to heal somebody. So things aren't going very well. Naaman's in a foreign land. He had brought all these gifts. He had brought the letter. He was seeking help for his skin disease. But when the king read the letter, he did not have a good response to it. He was very angry at what he read. Let's continue on in verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel tore his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Have him come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. All right, so things are getting a little better. Elijah hears word of what's going on. He finds out about what the king's, that he tore his clothes. And Elijah says, look, send him to me. Send him to me, and he will know the power of God. He will know that I am genuinely a prophet of God. So Naaman goes on his way, and he goes to Elijah's house in seek of a cure for his disease. Verse 10. Then Elijah sent him a messenger who said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. All right, this is pretty simple advice. This is not hard to understand. Everybody in here understands what Elijah just said. You go to the Jordan River, you dip in it 7 times, and you're going to be healed. This is a super simple thing to do. This would have been so easy for Naaman to do. It wouldn't have been any trouble for Naaman to do. It wouldn't have taken much time for Naaman to do. It's just that simple. Here's the command. You want to be healed. You come to seek to be healed. Here is the way in which you are going to be healed. Now, the story could end right here. It could just say, and Naaman went and did as Elisha had said, and he was healed from his disease. But the story does not end there. Now, you would think that Naaman had come all of this way seeking a cure, that whenever the cure was presented to him, that he would simply do what was commanded. But that's not what Naaman did. Let's read the next verse. Verse 11. But Naaman got angry and left, saying, I was telling myself, he will surely come out, stand, and call on the name of Yahweh, his God, and will wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Now, wait a minute. What in the world is going on here? Naaman comes to seek a cure. Elisha, the man of God, says this is the cure. And Naaman gets angry. Naaman gets angry. Why? Because he wasn't cured in the way that he thought he should be cured. What did he expect? He said, I expected the man of God to come out here and wave his hand around and say, you're cured, and I would be on my way. But that's not what happened. That's not the way that God works sometimes. Do we ever get angry at God? Do we ever have struggles and pains and sorrows and sicknesses in our life? Do we have things that are difficult for us that we want to have some restoration in our life? We want to have some peace in our life. We want to have some deliverance in our life. And we pray and we seek God, and then all of a sudden we're expecting God to work this miracle and wave his hands and do things in the way we expect, and God doesn't do it. God doesn't instantly wave his hand over us and say, you are healed. Sometimes God has different ways to fulfilling His plans. Sometimes God has different ways of bringing about healing in our life. And we have the way that we want. We want it to happen now. We want it to happen quick. We want it to be no inconvenience of us. We don't want to have to do anything. We just want to say, God, here's what I need. God, You do it and let me go on my way. We don't really like to put in a lot of time. We don't want to put in any effort. We don't really want to have to seek God in any way. We don't have to be obedient to God. We don't want to have to serve God. We just want to say, God, here's what I want, so You do it. And how many times maybe have we been guilty of having that attitude? And then God doesn't respond in the way that we want. God doesn't do things in the manner that we want, and we get angry with God. Naaman says, look, this man's a man of God. He could just wave his hand over me and cure me. And he was angry because he didn't have instant deliverance from his skin disease. Let's see what he says moving forward. Art, Abana, and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and left in a rage. He was missing the point. He was missing the point that is most important. It's not so much about the action. It's about obedience to what God was commanding him to do. What God was commanding him to do was be obedient to what Elijah had told him. But what Naaman was thinking about is he was thinking about just the physical that he could see. He says, the Jordan River, that's nothing. Now, there's nothing really fancy about the Jordan River. We hear the Jordan River a lot. We see the Jordan River in Scripture, and the Jordan River is a cool place scripturally, but it's not really that great of a thing. It's a pretty narrow river. It's not a very deep river. 3 feet to 10 foot, it's a super small river. There is nothing fancy. There's nothing special. It's definitely not one of the greatest rivers in all of the world. And that's what Naaman said. Wait a minute. I come to see this man of God. I'm expecting this great healing. And of all the places he tells me to go, he tells me to go to the Jordan River. What is special about the Jordan River? There's nothing great about the Jordan River. He said the rivers in Damascus are better. Here's a couple of rivers, Abana and Pharpar. They're far better than the Jordan. If I wanted to go dip and be made clean, why wouldn't I go in those? But he had totally missed the point. You see, the healing was not coming from the waters of the Jordan River or the Abana River or the Pharpar River or the Mississippi River or any other river. The healing was going to take place when Naaman was obedient to what God had called him to do. How many times in our life may God be calling us to do something? How many times in our life do we miss what God's calling us to do? Because we don't think much of it. It doesn't look like the works of God the way they should look, at least in our minds. And we say, this is what God's calling me to do? This is it? I don't want to do this. But what we have to learn is obedience to God, because that is how God begins to work in our life. When we are obedient to God and begin to listen to God, then God can begin to work in our life. Then God can begin to bring healing to our life. Then God can begin to bring restoration to our life. So what about us today? Do we read the Word of God? Do we hear the Word of God? Do we listen to God as the Spirit speaks to us and leads us? Are we obedient to what God calls us to in our life? Maybe there's healing and restoration that we're seeking today, and maybe God desires healing and restoration in our life, but maybe what God wants of you today is for you to stop living for yourself and to humble yourself before Him and to be obedient to His words, to His commands. We might find a lot of our struggles and a lot of our pains and a lot of our worries and a lot of the problems we get ourselves into, we make it escape a lot of those things if we simply lived in obedience to God. If we simply did what the Word of God says. Are we doing that this morning? Maybe you say, oh yeah, I'm doing what the Word of God says. Well, maybe you are. Maybe you're not. Maybe there are some areas in your life where there's some disobedience. where there's some things that God's Word has called you to do, and you know God's Word has called you to do it, but you just don't do it. You don't want to do it. You don't like it. You don't understand it. You think it's dumb. You don't understand why God would work this way or want you to do this, and therefore you just don't do what God's Word says. You just completely disregard the Word of God. And when we do that, we miss the blessings of God. When we disregard what God's Word says, when we fail to live in obedience to Him, when we fail to seek Him and let Him guide our life, then we totally miss the blessings of God. And Naaman was about to miss the blessing of God. He was about to miss the restoration and the healing that he so desperately wanted, that he had traveled all that way for, all because he didn't like the answer that he got. All because God didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. And so Naaman hears this. He says, look, I ain't going to the Jordan River. There ain't nothing fancy about that river. I'm going back home. And he leaves to go back on his way. But listen to what the scripture says. But his servants approached and said to him, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he tells you, wash and be clean? Praise the Lord for his servants there. They spoke up and they said, wait a minute. Hold up, Naaman. What if this man of God would have come and told you to do some great and miraculous and mighty thing? Would you have done it? He probably would have. After all, he was a brave warrior. What if Elijah would have said, all right, Naaman, I want you to go and I want you to bring back the heads of 10 of your enemies. Naaman would have probably said, I'm going to do it. I'll be back tomorrow by lunch. And Naaman would have went and done it. He would have went and done the great thing that would have made him feel good, that would have been this big, mighty, awesome, wonderful thing. But he didn't want to do the least little thing. His servant said, look, wouldn't you have gone and done it? If Elijah would have told you something wonderful to do, you would have been right on it. But he tells you to do the most basic thing, to wash and be clean, and you're not going to do it? What about us in our life? Are there ever things that God calls us to that we consider too trivial for us to serve God in that way? Because we like to serve in the big ways, in the good ways, in the ways that people are going to recognize, in the big fancy, oh, I want to serve in this way, I want to serve in that way. But maybe the way God calls us to serve is things that are not quite as desirable. Maybe we say, God, I want to serve you. Give me an opportunity to serve. And in our mind, we're thinking of some big, grand opportunity that God's going to put before us. And maybe God says, I want you to go minister to the Alzheimer's patients at the nursing home. I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to go there. It's stinky. It's scary. Those people aren't even going to remember what I say next week. I want to do something great for you, God. I don't want to do the little thing. But maybe the little thing is something great for the Lord. Maybe the little things that God calls us to that we don't consider important enough, maybe they're the most important things in the kingdom of God. Perhaps sometimes we're guilty of looking at the great things that we can do for the Lord, all the while not recognizing that the great things we can do for the Lord may be some of the smallest things that you could possibly ever imagine. And we can come up with lots of excuses why we can't do the small things. But maybe it's the small things today that God is calling you to. If God said today, would you do something great? Would you do it? Maybe. But maybe today what God's saying is, there's a little thing I want you to do. Would you be faithful to do it? If we're faithful with a little, we're faithful with a lot. But if we're not willing to be faithful and serve God in the small things, then we're probably not going to serve God in the big things either. And if our desire is to do the great things, then maybe our desire is not to bring glory to God. Maybe our desire is to bring glory to us. Maybe our desire is to say, oh, let me tell you about this great big trip I went on, this fancy mission trip I went on, this great thing I did. Oh, I did this wonderful thing. Maybe when we boast in such things, maybe we're not boasting in God at all. Maybe we don't care about the people we serve at all. Maybe we just care about ourselves. So maybe there are some little things that God's calling you to do. Some things that you've overlooked. Some things that you didn't think were worth your time. Maybe they are. If God's put it on your heart and God called you to do it, then you need to do it. The servants of Naaman said, look, if you were told to go do something great, you'd be all about it. But what you're told to do is be obedient and wash and be made clean. And Naaman listened, praise the Lord. Verse 14, so Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, according to the command of the man of God. Then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy, and he was clean. Naaman finally got it. Naaman listened to his servants. Sometimes we need people like that in our life. Sometimes we're kind of boneheaded like Naaman. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes God's trying to work in our life and God wants to deliver us and God wants to help us. And we are just so dead set against it that we totally miss what God's trying to do and how God wants to deliver us. Sometimes we need people in our life to come up to us and say, hey, wake up. Wake up, brother. Wake up, sister. God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. But you got to humble yourself before God. Sometimes we need those people in our life. Sometimes you need to be those people to other people. Sometimes other people need to be that to you. But Naaman's servants came to him and said, look, would you listen to what God has called you to? Would you just humble yourself before the Lord? And he did. And Naaman did exactly what Elijah said. And would you believe that when Naaman was obedient to God, that God restored him, that God blessed him, that God delivered him? It seems so simple. It seems so simple that he should just listen to God and that God would be with him. It seems so simple that if he would have just been obedient to God and humbled himself before God, he would have experienced the power of God. It seems so simple. Why wouldn't he just do it to start with? Why won't we just do it to start with? It seems so simple that God gives us his commands and he gives us his instructions. Why won't we just do it? Why won't we just listen to God in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our sickness, in the midst of our sorrow? Why won't we just seek God and listen to him? Why do we seek to do things that bring greatness upon us? Why are we too proud to do the small things of God? Why are we too proud to say, God, I need you. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm falling apart. God, I'm sick. God, I need help. And maybe today God is telling you, if you would just seek me, if you would just humble yourself before me, if you would just follow Jesus Christ, if you would just follow my commands and live in obedience to me, I would bless you. I would lift your burden. I would bring you peace. You could get out of so many situations if you would stop living like a fool and start living like a wise man. You could get out of so many situations if you would stop fighting with everybody that you see and start loving your neighbor as yourself. You could get out of so many situations if you would just be obedient to me. You could get out of so many worries if you would stop looking at what is before you and start looking at my word. You'd be so much better off if you'd stop worrying about all the junk in the world and the elections in the world and who's going to be the leader of the world and look to Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. If we would just seek God and his word and live in obedience to that word, we would be so much better off. Amen. But instead, we live worried and afraid and angry and diseased because we won't humble ourselves before the Lord. God will bring healing to our life today. God will meet us where we are. God will work in our life in ways that we probably can't even understand, ways that don't make sense. He'll tell us something silly like, go dip in this river 7 times, whatever it may be. Sometimes the things that God calls us to do not make any sense. It does not seem like that there's any way if we do that it's going to help our situation. Yet if God calls us to it, we need to be obedient to his word. If Naaman wouldn't have listened to his little servant girl, he would have died with that skin disease. If that little servant girl didn't have the boldness to speak up, even in a foreign land, as servants of a foreign people, then a miracle of God would have never been able to take place. If Naaman's servants that were with him wouldn't have spoke up and said, man, pay attention to what's going on, then Naaman would never have experienced healing in his life. But all of these people were in Naaman's life. God put all of these people in just the right place at just the right time, but something was required of Naaman. He had to be obedient to the word of God. He had to humble himself before God. And when he did that, God brought healing to his body. His skin was made like the skin of a young boy. Healing was brought to Naaman's life. Restoration was brought to Naaman's life. What about you this morning? God wants to restore you. God wants to be with you. God wants to strengthen you. God knows what your struggles are. He knows what your pains are. He knows where you are. And God wants to bring you peace. He wants to bring you restoration today. But will you let Him? Are you trusting Him? Are you trying to do it yourself? That's the problem we have. We try to do it ourselves. We want to help God out a little bit. But maybe today you just need to humble yourself before the Lord and stop trying to help yourself and start trusting in God and living in obedience to His Word. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You. We thank You for Your good Word. We thank You for this little story that's just kind of tucked away, dear Lord. We thank You for Naaman and his obedience. And I pray that we can learn from his doubt, dear Lord. Maybe if we admit it, we are much more like Naaman than we care. Maybe we're a person that's not too good, dear Lord. Those Arameans, they were pretty wicked folks. But nonetheless, dear Lord, You still work in the life of the wicked. And what a blessing it is for us today. We praise You, God, that You still work in the lives of the wicked. Because, God, we are wicked sinners today. We come before You today and we are diseased with our sin and our anger and our pride and our selfishness. And God, the list goes on and on. Dear Lord, we are diseased and we are burdened, God. And we come here today and there are some that are hurting, dear Lord. And I pray that they would seek You, God. I pray that like Naaman, they would take the first step, dear Lord. That today, that as we look at this story, that they would know that there is one who can bring healing to their soul, to their body, to their heart, God. Dear Lord, Naaman heard that word from his servant girl, and he listened to it, God. I pray today that we have heard that word, that we would know today, dear Lord, that there is someone who can help us. And dear Lord, our help comes from You. Our help comes through Jesus Christ, who gave His life on the cross so that we could be forgiven. So dear Lord, I pray that we take the first step. I pray that You would help us not to doubt You, dear Lord, or be angry with You today because You don't work the way that we think You should. Dear Lord, we want to be delivered in our pains. We don't like going through seasons of just difficulty, dear Lord. And God, we pray today and we know that if it be Your will, that You could just say the word and everything would be right in a moment. And dear Lord, should You choose to work in that way, then so be it. But God, so many times, that's not Your will. So many times, dear Lord, You work in our life through our situations in ways that we cannot understand. You don't just wave Your hand. You don't just say the word and things are better. Instead, dear Lord, we have to run this race with endurance. So God, I pray that You would help us just to hold on to You today, that You would help us to seek You today, dear Lord. We need Your blessings, God. We need Your joy. We need Your peace. We need to feel Your presence, God. So I pray that we would step out today and that we would seek You, that we wouldn't doubt Your word, that we wouldn't question Your ways, but we would know that You have not forgotten about us, that we are where You have brought us today, and You have not brought us here to leave us here, to abandon us, God. But maybe there are some here today, and You brought them here today because they need to seek You. Maybe they have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that today that they would find true healing in Jesus. It can only come through Jesus, dear Lord. God, I pray that You would help us to never overlook the things that You call us to do, that we would never say that those things are too small for us to do, dear Lord. God, let us be willing to serve You in every way, even the ways that won't bring any recognition, even the ways that might be dirty, even the ways that might be out of our comfort zone, that we remember, dear Lord, it's not about being recognized. It's not about how good we feel. It's about serving you and serving others that they may know the love of Jesus Christ. So I pray, God, that you would help us to do everything we do for your glory and for your kingdom and never for ourselves, dear Lord. I pray, God, that we would listen to your word today. God, maybe there are those that we think of in our life this morning, and maybe we need to be like the servants of Naaman, and we need to go to them and say, look, brother, look, sister, listen to the word of God. God, maybe there are some of us today, and we are Naaman, and we need this reminder in your word that we need to lay down our pride, and we need to listen to you, dear Lord. I pray that today that we would be obedient to your word. I pray that today that we would humble ourselves before you, dear Lord, just as Naaman did, just as he humbled himself to do what you called him to do, to live in obedience to your commands, dear Lord. Let us be like Naaman today so that we can experience what Naaman experienced, so that we can experience restoration this morning, dear Lord. I pray for those who are here today that are struggling, that are going through life. It's tough. I pray that you bless them, that you protect them, that you would encourage them today. And I pray, God, that each one of us in this place would humble ourselves before you as we have this song of invitation. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and sing this morning, if God has spoken to you in some way today, if you want to pray where you are, that's fine. Use this opportunity to respond to the Lord. Maybe you need restoration in your life, and maybe God's been working on you, and maybe today you want to humble yourself before the Lord. I pray that you do so. If you need prayer this morning, come up front. I'll be glad to pray for you. But as we sing, now is your opportunity to respond. Study about faith, be back here tonight at 5 o'clock. Brother Sonny, would you close us with a prayer?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord.